The scripture portion that we would be focusing on this morning is from book of Isaiah, chapter 40, starting from verse 12 to verse 31. If you're looking up at the screen, let me tell you the secret. There's no scripture portion on screen. We have some Bibles out there. We have app on our phone. And I really like to encourage church family to open their Bibles. So that's what it's going to be on the screen. And we can talk about any mistakes that you find in that after the service. Gives us something to talk about. But after reading the scripture portion, I would really like to give an opportunity to the church family to maybe read the verse that you would like to read once again from this, or maybe just share something very, very briefly. Because I have prepared 8 pages sermon this morning. So think of that. Anyway. Isaiah chapter 40, starting from verse 12 to verse 31. Welcome. That's good. This is what it says in here, and I'm reading from NLT. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Verse 14. Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Does someone teach him? Did someone teach him what is right? Or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and fraud. Verse 18. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or, if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay, and a skilled craftsman to crave an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seems like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking roots, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heaven, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you'd like to share a verse or something that you'd like to share with the church family briefly, this is a time while I drink. Anybody? And it's fine if we don't want to. It's fine. As a church family, we are going through the book of Isaiah. And when we, a few months ago, sat together thinking about the book of Isaiah and how can we cover this, we could think of different themes that we can focus while journeying through this book of Isaiah. Because it's a huge book, and to really understand that would take years. Trust me, I preached 35 sermons on 1 John, so I can be really slow at times. And I didn't want to do that for 5 years, focusing on book of Isaiah. But we were looked at different themes, and we thought, thinking about God and how God acted in the story of Israel and people of Judah would be a very interesting thing to do. And that's where we are focusing our theme and on a sermon series which says, One God, Hope in the Middle of Our Story and Not Their Story. Because the way God was present and participated in their story, He is very much present and participates in our story. So we are journeying, learning, understanding how God is very much present in our story. Just a bit of background that I always like to give. You know, the section of prophetic books in the Bible starts from the book of Isaiah and goes till the end of the Old Testament. That's the book of Malachi. Now, these books were written, the overlaps with the history that was happening. What are the historical books in the Bible? From Genesis till? Historical books, history, story in the Old Testament. Esther. So it talks about Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right? I always get confused. So let me say this and I get confused. And that's the history. It talks about what happened. And next two sections, poetic books that starts from Job and book of prophetic books that starts from Isaiah, are written during that history that has happened. And this is really important for us to understand when we read these books, because then we understand the connection and where they are placed in the history of people of Israel and people of Judah. Do you know why I keep saying people of Israel and people of Judah? Divided kingdom. You know, people of Israel asked for king. They had three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And they said, fine, we cannot get really along together. So they divided into kingdoms. And therefore then people of Israel and people of Judah. Anyway, chapter 40 onwards, book of Isaiah is almost entering in the third larger section of this book. And it is largely said that this section is more focused towards future, when people of Judah would end up in captivity. And this keeps amazing me that how they knew that what is going to be in the future, and they still hasn't turned, they didn't choose to turn from their ways. And Isaiah is talking to them. And when we read verse 27, Isaiah is almost saying what those people would have thought when they were in captivity, when they had lost their freedom, when they lost their identity as a nation, and this was the question that they must have been battling with. And the question is, oh Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Hello, you were the one who didn't obey God. You were the one who didn't heed any warnings. And that's the reason you are there. And what is really, really important for us to understand. Even after people of Israel and Judah repeatedly disobeyed God, God did not do this on them. God did not turn their back upon them. God says, I still love you. I still have a plan for you. I'm still willing to walk with you. I'm still willing to save you. And that's the story of the Bible. And that's the story of our life. You know, verse 27 sounds very familiar, right? Not because we have read it again and again in the Bible. Why? Because we tend to say certain things like that. When we find ourselves in difficult situations and circumstances, maybe the result of our own doing or nothing to do with our own doing, but when we find ourselves in these difficult situations, we tend to ask God, God, where are you? Why can't you see that I'm in such a difficult time? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you answering to my prayers? Why aren't you taking me out of this situation? And that is the situation that people of Judah are in. And I'm sure we must have said that. I've said that. When I find myself in a difficult situation, I've questioned God. I'm not the perfect, as the screen says. We make mistakes. We ask God questions. God, where are you? Why are you not listening to me? And Isaiah is answering that question. Isaiah is answering those in those times, more futuristic writing for them, in those times that, don't worry, I know you have done wrong, but God still loves you. And that's where he writes this passage. I think that's where, you know, when we read chapter 40, verse 1, you know, it starts with the word, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Because they would be in that situation. And that's what Isaiah is trying to deal with. This passage in particular, the section that we have read, deals or reminds people of one very important aspect of God. Any guesses what that might be? Verse 28, a clue that God is a creator God. And if we read this passage, we repeatedly see that Isaiah is bringing that truth in different passages or different sections of this passage. We see from verses 12 to verse 14, there are a series of questions that Isaiah is asking. And either the answer for this question is not me, or it's God. So who else has held the oceans in his hands? Not me, God. Who else measured of the heavens with his fingers? Not me, God. And almost it goes in that rhythm, because it's not me, I cannot do it. I'm not capable of that, but it's God. And Isaiah is bringing their attention on this very truth. Again, verse 21, 22, 23, 24, but verse 22 mostly. Verse 26, he talks about God. He reminds them that it is God who created all these stars. Verse 28, he just thinks, okay, if you haven't understood the clue, that's what I'm trying to say, because he is the creator God. And it's not something new for us. You know, that's a great thing about Bible. You pick any passage today and it's nothing new for us, except it's from Book of Revelation, because we love to avoid that book. Not a good book. It's a book of hope, by the way. If you read, it's a book of hope. But let me ask you this. Knowing that my God is creator God, God who has created everything that exists, everything that I can see, understand and know of is created by God. How does that help in our faith journey with the Lord? question. You are more than welcome to respond to it, to tell us what's your experience. How does that that helps us in our faith journey to know that my God is the Creator God?
When you asked us to pray about the world situation, that brings back the Creator God, because we don't know the answer. We don't know what to pray for, but God does, because He is the Creator God. He knows the beginning from the end. Thank goodness. I don't need to know it. I just give it to God.
Thank you. See, I know it gets boring at times if I keep talking, so you also need to talk to us.
Thank you. Similar to what Kathy said, really, whatever we might be going through, God has put us in that place, and we need to dig deep to be close to Him and not be concerned about what we're actually going or growing through, which is really difficult at times when we're in the middle of it, but it's getting close to God and realizing He has created a future for us, and knowing that that is going to be a future in His eyes, and we need to rest assured on that.
Thank you.
When I look out of my window in the morning and see everything changing, and the trees and the birds and things, and it makes me think, I think, well, God's doing all of that, and you can look at the big or you can look at the small and then multiply it up to the whole world, and God is doing all of that, and He's just so awesome. He's massive, and He can do so much, that just so much. And let's not forget, He can do much more than we can possibly imagine. And then look at ourselves and what we are. And that gives us a God that is much bigger than we can get our heads around. So when we're asking for things, that puts it in perspective.
Thank you, Joanna. That's really helpful.
I just will answer with Psalm 112:6-7. It says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Because how He is, we don't never
know. Yes. Thank you. You know, I do a lot of crazy comparisons online. One of the comparisons that I did this week, because I was preparing for this, about the size of the universe, okay? And this is an approx. This is ChatGPT's answer. But then I know this humongous size of this. So Ely Cathedral is very well known to us, right? We know how huge that building is that stops all the network in Ely. That's what they say. I don't know why. But I asked the query. I said, if Ely Cathedral, if the sun is the size of Ely Cathedral, what would be the size of Earth? So the answer was, it would be the size of 5 feet tall fridge freezer. So if Ely Cathedral is the size of sun, that would be the size of Earth. I went to the next level. I said, okay, if the biggest star, which I told myself I must remember and I've forgotten, if the biggest star in the universe is of the size of Ely Cathedral, what would be the size of sun and the Earth? What do you think must have been the answer? The sun was almost a grain of sand. And naturally, if you want to talk about Earth, I don't know what to talk about. But that's the size of our God. You know, I had heard this beautiful sermon years ago, and some of that sermon keeps coming back to me. It was by an American preacher, Louis Giglio. Now, not that I'm a big fan of him. I don't particularly follow any particular preacher, but that particular sermon. You know, we have this song by Chris Tomlin, Indescribable? Yes. And they toured together. And in that, he did this comparison of how big the universe is and how God loves us. If you ever get time, listen to that. But our God has created everything that we can see, know, understand, or read about. And still there are things that we don't understand. But there are three takeaways that I would like to give you this morning as we focus on this passage. The first takeaway is in verse 15. It says, "No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand." So that's the size of God. But what's the takeaway for us is that we might fear things and we might understand situations. We might look at our circumstances and think, oh, that is too much for me. For people of Israel, when they were reading this or they would have communicated this, for them, they were looking at the enemy nations that were superpowers of those times, like Babylonians and Assyrians. And they must have thought, oh, they have such a huge army. They are so strong. They're just going and getting nations after nations. We are nothing in front of them. And Isaiah then comes with this verse saying, all these nations that you are fearful of, they're just a small grain. They're nothing in front of God. And my dear friends, this is what we need to understand. When we say, my God is a creator God who has created everything, then there is nothing in this world that is bigger than him. That's where it says on the screen, except the spelling mistake. Bigger than your biggest. There's nothing that we need to be careful of. Yeah, I need to be careful about when I write things. There's nothing that we need to be really afraid and fearful about, because our God is bigger than anything, any situation, any circumstances that we can think of. But let me tell you this. I would have really loved to stand here and say, but and you know what? He will take away all your problems. But I cannot, because that's not what the Bible says. And I'm so happy for Psalm 23 verse 4. That's the verse that I keep saying again and again. That even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, my Lord is with me. We would still have problems. We would still have situations and circumstances that would disturb us, that would distract us. But God helps us to walk through those situations in our life. But we need to know, understand, and live a life knowing my God is bigger. The second takeaway. Verse 18. It says, to whom you can compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? You know, we all have an image or a box where we have put a God in. We all have our own definition. We all have our own understanding about God. People of Israel and Judah, when they were there, they might have looked at all the gods of Babylonians and Assyrians because they had a lot of idols. And naturally, as Isaiah says about the poor man and a general example, that was literally happening. If you are poor, you would find something but then still have an idol in your house or in that area. And they worshiped those idols. And they thought, it is because of these gods that we are turning into a powerful nation. And the world for them revolved around those idols. For us, we worship the Lord who cannot be defined by an idol. You know, if I go for 100 years of English literature course, where I would learn every possible word that ever exists on this earth, I would still fail to give the right description of God in its totality. I really feel pity for John. You know, John who wrote the book of Revelation. You know, how much he must have struggled to sit down and write book of Revelation. He must have, should I use that word? No, that doesn't properly describe. Should I use that word? No. It is not possible. So at times, trying to understand God, just know that he is there. Let's not put God in a box and expect God to work according to how we understand who God is. Many a times, for loads of people, God is an amazing delivery driver. Do you know what I mean by that? We have a long list. God, this. Oh yeah, you're delivering tomorrow. Fine, I'm happy to know. And if that delivery driver doesn't come, we call a customer care. And God is turning into a delivery driver for us. God, that's my prayer. Answer that. That's my prayer. Answer that. Rather than knowing that God walks with us in those situations and circumstances, maybe we are eagerly praying for something and we are not getting the answer for that. Wait upon the Lord. He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what is needed to happen in our lives. Don't put God in the box. These people of Israel might have looked at them and said, God, they are powerful. Our God must look like them. Or maybe they have questioned God, their God is helping them. Where are you? We live our life with seed people, with seed so many things, and at times we compare God with them. God, that's happening in their life. Why not about me? My friends, my church family, remember, God cannot be compared or God cannot be described in any image. Because He is a huge, humongous, gracious, mighty God. Third takeaway, starting from verse 27 to verse 31, but I would be focusing on verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, I liked how Isaiah wrote in verse 26 about the stars and how he spreads the star and saying that he calls each by its name. You know, we were talking about warm weather, and we say, oh, this weather is not really the best one to work. Last Saturday, we started doing some work. We started nice and early at 8 o'clock. And by 9 o'clock, we were like, that's too much. We cannot work. The weather is not helpful. But God is there. He doesn't go on a break. He is one who has strength, who leads, who is in existence, who has made this universe, who runs this universe, who has put everything in its place, and he never goes tired. And I think that's where, you know, Isaiah says in verse 28, have you never heard, have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting Lord. He is. That's it. There is no need to add any more words. He is. And He is the creator of everything that we see. And therefore Isaiah says, see, He is that God who never grows tired, never goes weary, never goes weak. If we trust in Him, that's where we get our strength from. For people of Israel and people of Judah, they were in slavery. They would be in slavery, or Israel was already in slavery and Judah would be in slavery. Sorry, that's a bit historical there. And they would go, God, why are we in this situation? We cannot deal with this. And Isaiah is reminding them that our God is a creator God. He is everlasting God. He is with you. And then they bring an eagle. Any guess how an eagle can fly? Any particular bird followers? There's a specific species of eagles that is called bald eagle, which can fly or so high up to 10,000 feet. That's what internet says. Okay, not everything on up there might be true, but then this is a good source. Which is a really good height. And they said in that report that when they go up there, they just glide and they save their energy so that they can use that energy for much more important things in life. Like going and grabbing a fish from a river. But see this comparison. When we find ourselves in situations, circumstances, we think, oh, that's too much. I cannot deal with this. Now I'm going to set. I'm tired, God, of this. But Isaiah says, if you trust in the Lord, you would soar high like an eagle. Up there, not tired, not weary, not stopping down. But you'll be up there. Why? Because you're so powerful. No, because God is with you. Because you put your trust in God. And that's what happened. That is what would happen with us. Good takeaways, right? But the question is, what are we going to do with them tomorrow? How? This is where I'm expecting you to speak. You know, the verse says, when we put our trust in the Lord, we would soar high like an eagle. How should we put our trust in the Lord? What has been your experience? How have you put your trust in the Lord? Yes, we have failed. We do fail. That's fine.
Well, I can confirm what you've been speaking about, Sat. As the church family know, William hasn't been very well. And for 7 weeks, he was poked and prodded with everything, and he was quite frail then. And never once did I question God, why have you let this happen? Because I do believe that there are things in our lives that happen, and I think it enables us to grow because we have a God who is the great I am. So for me, our God is just everything. And as you quite rightly say, we cannot understand how big a God he is. But I can tell you, friends, that you may find yourselves in situations different to William and I, but I'm telling you, keep your trust in the Lord and never allow the enemy to get a foothold on you.
Thank you. Any other helpful advices, experience? How can we grow up? How can we put our trust in the Lord? See, sermons can be really good. But if they're not helpful on Monday morning, then they're just a good sermons.
So I don't think you've made a typo on your slide. I think bigger than your biggest works perfectly fine. Because tomorrow morning, know that God is bigger, bigger than you can ask, you can imagine, bigger than you can think. And then, in the light of that, simply give your biggest.
Thank you. It's fine. I'll go. I'm more closer here. I'm just saving my energy, Carol. I'll come to you.
For me, is being in His calling in the center of what He asks you to do. You will find strength, whatever that task look like. I believe if you are in the right place where He called you, I think He will strengthen you.
Thank you.
Yes, it's similar to Carol's experience, really. I think many of us sat here have been through some really big, deep issues in our lives. And when Nigel wasn't very well, many of you know, some years ago, never once did I think that he wouldn't come through. I just knew God was bigger than anything else, and we just knew. And I just remember thinking when my dad was passing as well, the thing that got me through that was just the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord was my strength, and that carried me through.
Thank you.
Okay. How is this going to work for me tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning I've got to get up earlier than I usually do. I've got to drive via Cambridge to Peterborough for a whole day's work, which is looking quite tricky. And then I've got to drive home and be ready to work again on Tuesday. And I know it's going to be really hot. And I was anticipating that I would be very weary right at the beginning of the week. But I'm going to hold on to verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So thank you.
It is... No, it's fine.
So how will I cope tomorrow, or how will I cope for all the rest of the days that I have here on earth? For me to experience God's vastness again, the first thing I have to do is acknowledge him. Because without acknowledging God, we can't put our trust in him. So Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, I hold on to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's a promise there. And for us to acknowledge God, and the rest, leave it to him.
Thank you. You know, the other report that I was reading, this is a good source. This is NASA, so this cannot go wrong. Okay? I was reading the article about how huge or humongous the universe is, or how much, with all the great science that we know of, how much percentage do you really understand we have understood of universe? Sorry? One? Okay, that's a little bit hopeful. Let's go. Little bit. You're not really far away from that. So according to this report in NASA, they said we have only understood 5% of the universe yet. So 95% is still kind of unknown zone or mystery, or not really sure what things are happening, most of which is black matter or all those things, which I basically say it's God, accept it, move on. But then that's what it is. The best thing for us is to know that he is. Start your day. Remind yourself. Know that he is bigger than your biggest situations. He is bigger than the whole universe, because he is the Creator God. I just would like to give you a few minutes of silence as music team comes on the stage. If there's anything particular that you're reminded of, that you are going through, use this space to commit those situations, those circumstances in God's hands, and ask God to remind us that he is bigger than our biggest problems.